Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas, Los Angeles, and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo, Aaron Alvarado, and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast. Han Solo trailer and A Quiet Place is what we're talking about, and I'm joined by Aaron Alvarado in Los Angeles. Aaron, how you doing?
I'm trying to be very quiet. There's things that can kill me if I speak too loudly behind me.
Oh, okay. So. How did you find out that you had to speak quietly or else they'd get you?
I'm not sure. The newspaper, maybe?
Oh,
I'm not really sure. They didn't explain it too well.
Heard it on the radio.
How were they printing all those newspapers so quietly? The newspaper printing business is a loud thing. So they're just printing that shit out. Excuse my language.
Oh. And that's Skylar from Dallas, Texas.
Bleep that live, right? We can bleep that live.
I'll cut that out of the audio pod. Apologies. This is a PG pod, strictly. We're going to get to A Quiet Place, and we're going to get to...
Are we not going to introduce me?
Yeah, I just said that's Skylar Teo from Dallas, Texas with the salty language. Skylar, how you doing?
I'm also going to do ASMR bit to start it off, because I was going to do that, and then Aaron did it. But we have to be really... really quiet, because we can't let them hear. Could you imagine a world where you can't eat sun chips? How was that not part of the movie?
Guys, I wanted to share with you all the things I've learned about these creatures. I have some whiteboards behind me. It's just off screen, and it's got words like weakness, question mark, and
I'm actually sitting on two thumbtacks as we speak.
Also, my board, it says, hear you equals kill you. So,
my board says, nail, question mark, yes, exclamation mark.
It says, watch for rusty nails. Also, my board
says... How did no one else step on that nail?
Just below my board also says, use birth control. babies equal loud, will not stand a chance. Okay.
Dude, last time they went to the pharmacy... they lost one of their kids. They weren't going to go to the pharmacy again.
That's no spoilers. No spoilers. We will get
that's
to
not a spoiler. It's in the trailer.
Well, okay. Fair enough. We will get to that. But we have something more important to get to first, boys. And that is a new movie coming out from Academy Award winning director Ron Howard. and we have our first comment actually about this movie, Han Solo, from Stephen Gibson saying, great movie. Yeah,
that's exactly what Stevens.
That's what he was referencing. Was for sure. So we already have a fan of the Han Solo movie. Great movie. But today, we got the first full-length trailer for Solo, A Star Wars Story. Previously, we got the teaser trailer on Super Bowl Sunday, which we reviewed extensively on this pod. It's very clear how we feel about this film. But tonight, during American Idol, we got the first full-length trailer, and I really want to kind of run through this with you guys and get any thoughts about it. We're going to be sharing some images here on the Facebook Live feed that we'll be referencing for those listening on just the audio version. But first things first, Skylar and Aaron, did anything about this full-length trailer change your mind from the opinion that you had after watching the teaser?
Teasler?
No. Yeah, the teaser. Sorry, I had Twizzlers earlier today, and that was on my mind.
So. Dude, you got to get the red vines. No, I mean, this is... What did we get more of in this? We got more of the acting of Han Solo by, what's his name?
Alden Ehrenreich. Or Hobie Doyle. Yeah.
We got to see more of his impression of Han Solo. And it is...
Was it better or worse than what it was in the teaser, though?
It's worse.
Is it?
Because it's more.
Okay.
Dude, I can't believe you're trying to defend this.
I didn't... What do you mean? I just asked a question. What are you trying to defend it?
Because I know where you're going. And it is indefensible. It's terrible. It's so dry and forced.
Okay.
Like, at the same time, it feels like he doesn't care, but he's forcing it really hard.
Was there a line specifically, delivery, that you feel that way? Because I know for the teaser, for example, the part that really, really was like nails on the chalkboard was when he did the whole, like, we're going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Like, at the end of the trailer?
In the teaser, they're protecting him so hard because, like, they show him a bunch, but he says, like, two lines in the whole teaser.
He's got a little bit more, but
And this, they're actually, like, letting him have dialogue, and it's so bad. Like, everything feels... Like, I would do a better job, and I'm a terrible actor.
Yeah. You're not. But, like, I mean, I've watched your stuff.
Oh, thank you. You're a sweetheart. But, no, he's... It's so bad. He's okay. So bad.
Okay. Aaron.
Ugh. Yeah, so the the line that sticks out for me is when he's asking Chewie how old he is, and he says he's, oh, you're 190 years old. You don't look a day over or whatever that stupid joke is.
This is, you look great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So go back and watch that little bit and try not to roll your eyes.
It's pretty bad.
It's very bad. It's very, very bad.
You know what's bad about that is? They put that in the trailer, which means it's one of his best deliveries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't. That's the thing. Honestly, they don't put bad stuff in the trailers. So that is, man, that is not encouraging.
I'm so excited for Chewie to have sex, though.
Okay. So that's the thing I want to talk about is Chewie has a love interest in this film, which I'm really interested in how they're going to pull that off. You just see him for a moment hugging what appears to be a female Wookiee.
It's a female Wookiee.
So it's going to be really interesting.
How can you tell it's a female Wookiee? Does it have like a bow in its hair or something?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
You didn't see her Wookiee boobs.
Okay. So I'm going to go the other way on this than you two. And that is, let me preface this. I in no way, shape or form believe in this film. Do I want, nor do I want it. I think it's a terrible idea for a film, aside from the fact that the troubled production leads me to believe that this will be just a really, really not good movie. I'm not excited at all for Ron Howard. I still think they shouldn't have made it. With that being said, this trailer, in my mind, was worlds better than the teaser trailer. It was substantially better. And there are reasons why that is. First and foremost, Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian. We have not heard a single line from him until now. And every line in the trailer for me of his lands. And it lands so good. He looks awesome. I mean, so again, I don't think this will be a good film. But this trailer was way more enjoyable for me to watch than the teaser was. But I've separated into lists lines that worked and lines that didn't. As well as a couple of images I want to run through here and talk about. But lines that worked. When Han asks Lando about a story that he's heard about him, before he even finishes the question, at least in the cut of the trailer, Lando says, "Everything you've heard about me is true," which is a great line, even better delivery. That worked for me. And it also worked for Josh Karchner, who just said that he'd watched the trailer and thought it looked pretty good in his opinion as well. Did you not like the Lando stuff? Either of you?
I love the Lando stuff. I thought that was the best part by far. I think they're smart to rely heavily on Donald. We love Donald. He's like one of the hottest actors in Hollywood right now at the moment. So it's smart to turn this into a semi-Lando movie. I don't think he's going to be in the movie as much as we all hope. But
I don't think so either.
Yeah, if they can play it up in the trailer, why not?
See, that's the problem, though, is they're advertising a movie we're not going to get. They're advertising the Lando movie.
Well, I think that's the same thing with the Avengers in Black Panther. We know that they're not going to be in it that much, right?
Right. Yeah, they definitely are pushing the Black Panther angle. Yeah, I just fear that we just got the three best scenes with Lando.
It's possible. Like, I worry the might want to buckle up, baby. It's all true. Is also a baller line.
Yeah, and I feel like those might be two highlight lines. I don't know. We'll see. I bet he steals every scene he's in.
So I have a third highlight line.
The worst actor.
My third highlight line is actually a line that Alden delivers. Now, I actually think Alden Ehrenreich did way better in this trailer than the last one. It wasn't perfect. There were some lines that didn't work, and I'm going to go over those in a second. But if anything, this trailer was like, okay, this wasn't nearly like the dumpster fire. You know, his performance wasn't just a complete disaster like what we got in the teaser. And so that line, and it shows the dynamic of him and Chewie. Now, I know we talked about the 190-year-old line. That definitely did not work. But when he turns to Chewie and says, "What do you think?" And then Chewie makes the sound, he goes, "Well, what do you know?" It's a small thing. It's not like a super clever line, but it's delivered in a way that's very like, okay, that's the essence of Han's relationship with Chewie. And actually feels better than some of the ways that they've treated Chewie in the newer films, which is almost like, I feel like Chewie hasn't been given justice in Force Awakens or The Last Jedi. It's like they're not even treating him like another, like, you know, sentient, you know, being that's like unequal with the human race. Like they've kind of side, you know,
turned him into a second droid, basically.
They really have. They really have. In this one, it's like, okay, good. He's conversing with him in a way that feels like, I mean, he's being funny, but like, I felt like, okay, that's more authentic than what we've gotten of Chewie stuff.
Do you mean like his best friend of all time, who he's known for like his entire mm-hmm. life, died, and then mm-hmm. The next time we really see him, he's having a joke made with a nurse? Like that's mm-hmm. how he mourns? That's how they treated him? Okay, yeah, that's right. Great movie.
I don't know what angle you're going at, but you're agreeing that the Solo trailer has a good moment with Chewie and Han?
No, I'm saying that The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi have treated Chewie like...
I agree.
Trump treats women.
I've talked to... Oh, that's... Wow. Okay. That is... Wow. That's pretty bad. That's like really bad.
Not good.
No, it's not.
Donald. It's actually pronounced Donald Trump.
Yeah, it is Donald. Yeah, I was gonna correct you, but thanks, Aaron.
Don't you dare call him Donald Trump. Fight you both.
Chewbacca and R2-D2 are the two that have been the most, you know, the biggest disservice in the new, in 7 and 8 have been to those two characters.
Ooh,
but moving on.
Arm.
Moving on to lines that didn't work. And I can tell I already like this trailer more than you guys did, even though I still think the movie is going to be a complete tire fire. But lines that didn't work is, I'm a driver and a flyer. And
what does that mean?
I mean, so look.
That's not his fault. That's
right. Just hear me out.
I don't get it.
I want to do a poster. I want to do a poster with Han that has a quote that says, I'm a flyer. It's on a flyer. It's just an actual like flyer you hand out. And it says, I'm a flyer. And it's a quote from him.
I like that. I like that a lot. That's good.
I'm a driver. Right, I'm a flyer. By the way, it's pilot. The word is pilot. Like, you are a driver of a car. You are a pilot of an aircraft.
I think you could say pilot if you have a floating car. Like, you could just call that all pilot.
Yeah, I think you're right. But it's definitely not
flyer.
I think
he just says, I'm a pilot.
So, I'm going through a couple of images here as we're talking before we forget. Most of them that were on the in this casino scene with Lando that we talked about. I meant to go over those while we were talking about it, but too late. Anyway, can you guys see the pictures as I pull them up?
Yeah, I can. Good.
All right, next line for me that did not work. And this is from the character Beckett, played by Woody Harrelson. And he gives some advice. He tells Han, quote, let me give you some advice. Assume everyone will betray you and you will never be disappointed. This is a line that's so on the nose about like, who we know Han to be, doesn't really trust anyone except his instincts and himself, and really isn't out there, you know, doesn't, and you know, Chewie. We see him in A New Hope and he wants to just take the money, the credits and bounce. He's not really there for the rebellion. He's there for the money. That's why he agrees to go help save Princess Leia. And so they had this line that's like, you know, assume everyone will betray you and you'll never be disappointed. It's just like, oh gosh, are we going to get this movie where they're going to fill in this backstory of Han that it's like so on the nose. Like we don't really need this to explain, you know, why he is the way he is, but that line really, really didn't land for me. It made me think I've got a bad feeling about this, which segues to my third line and last line that didn't work was when Han says, I've got a really good feeling about this. And that this was the single worst moment of the trailer for me, because it's a play on the fact that the line, I've got a bad feeling about this, has been uttered in every single Star Wars film. And so how funny would it be if he says the opposite of that? Ha, ha, ha.
Not funny at all? Is that the correct answer?
Turns out not funny. I really, really didn't like it. But
what if you deliver the line like you've never acted before? Does that make it better?
Ooh,
because that's what we got. That's what we got out of Alden. I don't understand. Like, watching this trailer, I don't understand. Like, is he getting worse at acting or... I can't fathom.
How did he get this job?
Because he had the best audition.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I honestly feel like Taron Egerton would be just as bad. And just because I think that this is a role that's going to... It's just set up to fail. Who is going to this role? Because
I think what you'd have to do is you have to take your own take on it instead of trying to do cosplay of young Han Solo. And it sucks.
Well, did you guys ever watch Young Indiana Jones, that TV show? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's what this feels like.
Yeah,
everything
does.
About this feels like this, like you said, young Han Solo. And it doesn't feel like this is the Han Solo origin. This feels like young Han Solo, the TV show.
It doesn't help. Again, I made the same point about the teaser, and it got no better with this full-length trailer. The end little animation, the kind of logo stinger, makes it look like it's a Disney XD TV kids show. Like it's like a TV show. Dude, it's like just a really amateur animation. It's like weird.
It's worse than Rogue One.
Now, I will say the people in the comments, they're disagreeing with us. Matthew William Lloyd, a man of three names.
Three first names. I love it.
Sounds like a serial killer.
I just watched the trailer. He's not. He's a terrific human being. I just watched the trailer. It looks good. It's got its own thing going for it as a standalone film. I do agree. It does have its own thing going for it. And that thing is it's going to be the worst Star Wars film of all time. So
there is a distinct potential that we're looking at. I mean, we're on the precipice of watching the worst Star Wars film ever.
Let's pose that question. Can this be worse than Attack of the Clones?
It can, absolutely. Because Attack of the Clones isn't that bad. Episode one is literally the worst Star Wars movie.
Oh, okay. So we disagree there. Because Attack of the Clones is the one. The one with the sand remark. Hayden Christensen's performance.
Aaron, you also have Mace Windu with the amazing arena fight scene, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
The big battle in there.
Are you not entertained?
You don't mean that.
Yeah. He chops the guy's head off. He chops.
Pod race scene.
Skyler, what's the worst Star Wars film of all time?
Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
I was going to say Last Jedi just to own you, but I don't want to do it.
Oh, yeah. That would have triggered me so fast. And you know it.
Triggered liberal.
So we're going to keep. So I promised, or kind of semi-promised, try to keep this pod on the shorter side because we are going to record a second one right after this where we're going to be talking about and reviewing Wes Anderson's new film, Isle of Dogs, as well as a recent episode of Atlanta called Teddy Perkins, which is so filmic in its execution that it's deserving of a review on this pod. So
filmic?
Yeah.
I buy it.
Yeah. I'm running with it. Before we move on to A Quiet Place, do you guys have anything else to say about this trailer?
No, the trailer stinks. I'm glad that the movie's here so we don't have to watch another trailer.
Okay, wow. Okay. All right, guys. Let's talk about Jim Halpert's, what I thought was his directorial debut. Turns out it's not. I think it's the third film he's directed. A Quiet Place. This is a film that's got a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it is absolutely dominating my Facebook feed with positive reviews. Everyone I've talked to has just been over the moon for this film. People are loving this movie. I can tell you, the crowd in my theater certainly loved it. And in fact, they burst into applause a scene towards the end. It's a film that's definitely a crowd pleaser. It's not just a crowd pleaser. It's big with the critics. 97%. Like, that's huge.
Do we know the audience score on this? It's got to be in the 90s. I guarantee you it's
Rotten
in the 90s.
On Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah.
It's definitely in the 90s. I'm sure. It's probably...
People absolutely are head over heels about this movie. And $50 million opening weekend.
Yep.
$17 million budget, which is actually hard to believe. I don't even know where they spent that $17 million. To be honest,
they probably bought that farm they were on.
Guys, it only got an 87 audience score.
Oh, so the Russian bots came in and brought it down a bit. Okay,
that's mostly people who hate deaf people. There are a lot of those people.
A lot of discrimination.
They were not happy with the casting of an actual deaf person.
Mm-hmm.
Can I bring up a controversial topic for a second?
Ooh, I'm nervous to say yes to that.
Why is it that I could tell she was deaf? Like, do deaf people look deaf?
So, you know, it's an interesting question. You knew going in, though, that she was deaf in real life.
No, I didn't.
You did, though.
You didn't?
I didn't know.
Did you hear nothing about this movie before you watched it?
I was very careful to not. Like, I avoided our entire thread the day before. Like, yesterday, I just didn't even look at her thread.
Do you you think physically she looks different?
I think she looks deaf.
So,
like, her features are... By the way, she, like, is from Bountiful. She's totally Mormon.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well, that's interesting.
For Utah?
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I think...
But yeah, she just looks super duper deaf to me. Anyway, that's just my thought. That's all I wanted to say about.
So
that.
I mean, so
she didn't strike me as visually deaf. I don't know.
What'd you say, Aaron?
She didn't strike me as deaf.
Yeah, she didn't really me either. Except that, like, deaf people, you know, they're very, you know, typically a lot more observant. Like their physical mannerisms sometimes can be manifest a little bit differently. So that way they could look a little bit more that way, just because it requires them to, you know, they're constantly looking, and obviously you're required
more
to
animated more in their reactions.
You're a little bit more
stuff.
Animated yeah. in your, yeah, yes. in your communication. Yep, sure. It's interesting. Speaking of Mormons, when I served my Mormon mission, the first companion that I had, both of his parents were deaf. He wasn't, but he was raised in a household where he was signing. Both of his parents were deaf. It's kind of a fascinating thing. But even those mannerisms actually came out in the way he behaved. He was everything he communicated was very, his body moved when he communicated every time, whether it was verbal or whatever. He was definitely more animated in those movements. And so it makes me wonder if that made you look at her different physically. For me, she was a highlight of this movie for sure.
She was fantastic.
But
she was great.
Let me just kick things off with my overall take, and I'm really curious to hear you guys. This, people are so head over heels for this film, and I don't know if it was an expectation thing for me, but like, it, you know, there are things I really liked about this movie, but overall, I just didn't love it the same way that my friends, family, people I'm talking to are. I wasn't crazy about this film, and I'll go into why, but what did you guys think?
It's good, but I also had like laugh out loud moments during it where no one else in the theater with me was laughing. And so okay. I felt kind of self-conscious about like that. I was like, wait, everybody else, you guys realize how like stupid it is. Can we do full spoilers at this point?
What do you think, Aaron?
I mean, it's, not yet. I don't know about full spoilers, but
I
there's
talk
some
a little
stuff
bit
that,
more.
Yeah.
Like there's some real issues like with characterization and just certain characters being responsible for the deaths of multiple family members. That's just not addressed. And I have real issues with that. So I'll say that, then I'll wait
okay.
for
well,
us to get into full
let's
spoilers.
Let's talk more broadly, and then we can get specifically right at the end for those yeah. that want to tune out.
I liked it, though.
You did
I'll
like
give
it.
Like an 80.
You give it an 80?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Cinema Score is a B+, just so you guys know.
Yeah. I'm about there, too. Maybe I'm like a 78, 79-ish. I think I'm just below 80. But maybe, yeah, I'm in the same ballpark as Skylar, I think. What number were you? You said B+, Aaron, so that's
yeah, Cinema Score is B+, so that's, you know, low 80s. Oh, okay. Excuse me, that's high 80s, mid to high 80s.
So,
what's your score, though?
For me, personally, I'm not a big horror fan. I don't really watch horror movies anymore. But this is, like, as far as horror movies I've seen recently, in the last 5 years or so, this is probably one of the better ones. Mm. I'll never watch it again, but I think that it's effective in what it tries to do, for the most part. And I think that it's entertaining, and I love the fact that it's only 90 minutes long.
Yes.
So I think that's really good.
Was incredible.
No, it was very
it
well
flies
done.
By.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
A big fan of that.
Yeah, so I give them major credit for that. They could have drawn it out for at least another half an hour if they wanted to. There are so many roads that they didn't go down, and I'm glad that they didn't.
Agreed.
When you consider the amount of world building they have to do, like that's why we get a lot of cheesiness in it, because... Mm-hmm. They have to do a lot of world building in a really short amount of time.
Exactly.
So they do stupid newspaper headlines.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Dumb stuff, but it's really effective.
A lot of heavy-handed foreshadowing and stuff like that, which is,
oh my
I mean, that's
God,
part of the horror genre.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that, like, you know, I tried not to get hung up on. You know, like, if I'm going to get hung up on cheesy foreshadowing, then all horror films are going to annoy me. But, like, you know, when the movie starts, you know, it's like, everything's a foreshadowing, from working on the hearing aid to seeing a rusty nail to as the second you see Emily Blunt's pregnant, it's just a ticking time bomb, right? You're just like, okay, all of these things are going to
Or how about the very opening sequence where the kid is playing with a toy with the batteries? Yes. I mean, come on.
Now, I will say, though, the opening sequence was effective in establishing what was going on, and also the dynamics of this family.
Why on earth did they think about, like, why was that in the trailer? What a mistake.
Was that in the trailer?
Yeah.
I must not have watched the trailer.
A lot of
was
it is
in
the trailer. Yeah. Oh, I went back and watched.
That whole opening sequence is in the trailer.
Dumb. That's
so
dumb.
Which is insanity to me.
Yeah. A couple other things I really liked. One, I've got to hand it to Krasinski. I think he's proven an adept filmmaker. I actually think he did a lot of interesting things here. Now, the concept is fresh, which is not really his concept. It's, you know, a couple of other writers who've been working on this for a while, although he had reportedly did a rewrite on it with them. But I thought he was, you know, I'm actually excited to see what he can do with his filmmaking ability. I thought he was better behind the camera than in front of it. To be honest with you, I one thing that was distracting was how much better of an actress or at acting that Emily Blunt is than John Krasinski. They're in different leagues when it comes to that ability, and that's just the harsh truth. Also, farmers don't look like John Krasinski. I mean, I'm watching him, and it's just like he's like GQ's most handsome farmer 2017, you know? Like,
well, I think what happens is they were city folk, and they bought into the myth of let's throw it all away and open a farm.
It really felt that way, because like Emily Blunt and Josh Krasinski do not look like Midwest people. They just don't.
No. Josh Krasinski?
Whatever. Yeah, you're not going to find either one of them on farmersonly.com.
Well, are not we a chance. Positive? Are we positive they didn't pick up and move their whole lives out when the monster showed up?
So I thought that at first. I thought maybe this is a place they eventually landed at because of this whole thing. But there were several things that made me feel like, no, like this is they're actually trying to sell me on the fact that they're a farming family. I'm trying to remember what those cues were. And I don't
immediately. I mean, there's pictures on the wall.
What's that?
But like there are pictures on the wall.
The pictures on the wall. Yeah. That's probably a big giveaway. Like that'd be weird if they brought that with them.
But like, there's not like they're doing anything that a farmer would be good at. Like, he's good at hunting and stuff, but
yeah, he's good at talking under waterfalls, and I love the sound design, which
great.
Is the sound design was really 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 effective.
I agree, but I also wish that they would have gone scoreless.
I agree. So that was my second point. The pro con here: great sound design. I did not like the score at all.
Yeah,
it's a bad score.
Yeah, it really tried to tug on the heartstrings. It was a very like sentimental, sad score that like really was distracting for me. It would have been way better scoreless. But the sound design, especially the perspective of the the deaf child when you can't hear anything at all, when you know you see realizing how difficult that would be to survive in a world given those circumstances for her, I thought that was a really effective way of doing it. I thought it was really, really interesting. And also just the concept is pretty fresh. I enjoyed that this was kind of a new thing to figure out, even though there's a lot of hokey stuff. And if you think too much about it, it kind of falls apart. Like how would they have set up all of this stuff while being quiet? And like, how many sacrifices did they have to go through to learn what's too loud and what's not? You know, like, you know, I like to think they started with 13 kids, right? And we, you know. We see them
one loud
three.
Fart and you're done, or like one Dorito and you're finished.
Yeah, that's right.
So you brought up Krasinski behind the camera. I read this somewhere. I can't remember in some comment section here, but someone brought up the fact that a lot of times when a director also acts in a movie, they tend to make their character the central plot or the central aspect to any scene. And I think that Krasinski did a service to the movie by not making himself the central aspect to any scene. He lets Emily Blunt shine. He lets the kids shine. His character is kind of off to the side in a lot of the movie. So I give him credit for that.
Yeah.
Because like you said, he's not a good enough actor to carry a movie like this.
I don't think he is.
He tries though. Like there's some sequences where he tries to be, but he just doesn't have that the kind of gravitas.
So a handful of other criticisms I have here before we fully wrap this up. The pregnancy. Maybe this is where we go into spoilers. I'm not going to reveal the ending of the film, but like I'm going to talk about a scene at least somewhat in detail. So if you're listening and you really don't want to know about how a woman gives birth in a world where if you make any noise, you die, then maybe tune out now.
One quick thing. They do show her pregnant in the bathtub in the trailer.
Of course.
So 100% do.
The trailer, this is bad. I haven't watched the trailer recently. I didn't know any of these things.
It's crazy.
Crazy
to me.
Crazy that I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that she was already pregnant by the time this whole world apocalyptic event happened, though it's not super likely that's the case. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that that's the case.
Also,
I mean, I don't know Emily Blunt personally. I don't know if she has children or not. But if she can deliver a baby in 90 seconds flat with just one good yelp, then that's the most powerful human being on the planet.
I feel sorry for John if that's the case.
Dude, that cut when all of a sudden she's in the shower and she's just holding a perfect baby, not crying.
Perfect baby, by the way.
Insanity.
It is
the craziest thing I've ever seen.
It's crazy.
Like that That's like one of the moments where I laughed and nobody else laughed. I'm like, oh, this is like, we're supposed to be taking this seriously because this is insane, everybody. I hope we all realize how insane this is.
Well, it's insane for so many reasons. One, because human bodies don't work that way. Births don't work that way. And John Krasinski looks relieved that her character is alive because, you know, just a moment before he thinks like she might be dead because he sees blood in the tub, you know. And then her hand goes up and he looks and he's like, oh, thank goodness you're alive. But like, maybe I would like to see some reaction of like, how, wait, what? Like, you're not only alive, but what? The baby? Like, you, not only have you given birth to it, but it's cleaned off and wrapped, you know, in this blanket and you're holding him and he seems like pretty good mood. Like, I mean, just chilling. Like, that's incredible that you did this. Like,
hey, Skylar, you have a kid. When your child was born, did they cry at all?
Zero crying.
Okay, cool.
For the first 24 hours. Just real chill.
Yeah.
Chill, happy baby.
Yeah. But if she did cry, you put an oxygen mask on her and put her in a wooden box that looked like a
problem
like a
solved.
Exactly. Exactly. It was a crib slash casket.
I'll say
it's a crib slash boat.
So I...
Yeah, wait, what was that thing that Moses was in?
A
bassinet?
I get like,
I don't think Moses was in a bassinet. His thing floated, right?
I understand why they wanted this in the movie. Like the whole idea of in a world where you can't make noise, like what would be worse than giving birth and having a baby in that world? Like I get that. But it's so absurd and ridiculous that it was hard for me to take it seriously. I just think it would have been a better film without having to explore that whole angle. But speaking of just like the stresses of living in that environment, one issue I did have with the film, and maybe for some people this is a pro and maybe why it works so well, is that like they dialed up the kind of intensity to an 11 right at the beginning. And it doesn't really give up. It's interesting that they make that choice. There's one moment I noticed when they're listening to music together in this headphone that's just like a brief reprieve from that, just the edge of your seat, like constant, like, please don't make a noise. In fact, my theater was like that, by the way. I felt guilty eating my popcorn. Like, I felt like I was going to kill everyone in the theater if I kept eating my popcorn because you could hear it. Like, no one was moving in my theater, which I was just like, I just spent $6 on this thing. Like, it's going to, you know, it's going to make some noise.
You didn't spend
like
a dollar on this. Oh, your popcorn.
Yes, the popcorn.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. That's on you.
No, the film, no, no. And so, anyway, the point is when you dial things up to an 11 and keep it there throughout the whole film, and it's like the super stressful feeling, when you need those moments to turn up to like 12, you're kind of already, it's just not that big of an impact. And you're already kind of, you're numbed or desensitized to that feeling of intensity. So when the very, very biggest moment hit, like it doesn't hit as big as it could just because it's already been like super stressful. And so I don't know, pacing a little bit in that way would have been nice. Though to Aaron's earlier point, 90 minutes was such a delightful surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe, I was really relieved actually once they started to get the conclusion and the climax all starting to happen at the same time. I was like, all right, this is great. I've been here long enough. I've been with this family long enough. I think that I'm done here. So yeah. Let's put a bow on this bad boy.
So the ending. Horror films are famous for having endings that either the bad guy wins or it's not. You think it's happy, but then it's not. And then, you know, any myriad of ways of doing it. But this ending was particularly crowd-pleasing. Now, we are in the spoiler area now. So we'd already warned that earlier. But did this ending work for you guys?
No.
Okay. Why not?
Because I hated the notion that she was taking these guys out one by one with her hearing aid, and while she was about to save her family, save her dad, she turned it off and led to his death directly.
Mm.
And then the fact that, like, oh, wait, this is a power I have? Oh, I'm just going to put it on the speaker and then, boom, take this guy out. Oh, now we're just going to use this gun ear thing combo that they figured out. I just thought that was so stupid, and then to not show it, like, to end it like that, I don't know, I didn't enjoy that. I thought it was stupid.
That's okay. Can we, this is a point, this is a really good point I want to bring up, or I wasn't going to, but now I will. You brought it up. Did John Krasinski need to die? And specifically, did his daughter not, I thought she had figured out at that point that her hearing aid had some sort of connection to affecting the monsters, but apparently she hadn't.
I thought for sure by the time she was in the corn.
I thought so too.
It occurred to her what just happened.
Yes.
And so when she turned that thing off, I was furious.
Well, I didn't get that from that. I got that it was causing her physical pain. That's why she turned it off, because she was uncomfortable. I don't think that she made the connection that it was killing or hurting the monsters. Because
I was a little
too.
Bit like, in my mind, a little bit, it's like, wow. I know you're upset at your dad and you don't think he loves you or whatever, but like to sentence him to death like this.
But like in her mind, when they were in the corn, what saved them? Like, why did that one leave in her mind? Because she didn't even know about the one that left the first time.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what was she thinking?
Yeah.
Is she that stupid?
I don't know, but it's mildly frustrating. Well, it's a little bit sad that, you know, she could have definitely helped her dad in that moment and his sacrifice was not totally necessary.
Well, I think that he kind of earned that death because he was such a terrible father, never told his daughter that he loved her until he was about to die.
How did he not told her he loves her?
Well, I mean, they kind of showed that he was a misogynist and he was also very staunchly religious. Right, so he didn't want to. He didn't want. He doesn't have time for that soft stuff, basically. So,
well, yeah, I like how it required the 6-year-old boy to tell his dad that he needed to tell the daughter that he loved her.
Yeah, exactly.
Not great.
Can you tell your daughter that you love her?
Well, that's a very traditional religious Protestant thing. The women are not allowed to directly talk to their fathers. They have to use an interpreter. So that's what the brother was there for. So.
Yeah. Well, he did a heck of a job, but it didn't stop her from her murderous rampage. And
can I just say that kid was so annoying until he had the waterfall moment. And I was like, oh, I'm kind of warming up to this kid. And then he turned cool. I like that kid by the end of the movie.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Because I was a little bit like, I was annoyed by him for most of it. And I was thinking like, oh, gosh, I wish I would have known what his brother was like more, because I think I wanted him.
Well, I think that little kid was like Skyler when he was a little kid, just playing with the space shuttle, thinking about outer space rockets, NASA. That's basically a kid after your heart.
I would have been dead. I was looking at that kid. I was like, I would have been dead.
Yeah.
In fact, I saw a lot of my daughter in that kid.
Well, man.
So I was like, yikes. She's not going to make it.
That kid
world.
Was what, 4 years old, 5 years old?
Also, can we just talk about the fact that the U.S. government like just washed their hands of this whole thing and just sent out a note that says you're on your own?
Is that the headline or
that was like there was a clipping that said from the U.S. government you're on your own,
which is terrific.
It's like, what? And
like amazing stuff.
when he went up and started the fire to alert Rohan they needed aid, and there's like all their neighbors, I'm just like, there's all these people who are just doing fine, like none of them have farted in these 400 days.
Well, I mean, need to figure out the frequency, really, because that's what it is. So if the frequency of the fart is not on that on the spectrum where these aliens can hear it, they're fine.
Yeah.
Also, like, I get the whole rocket thing as like a distraction, but I would have like Bluetooth speakers all over the place. So if something happens at my place, I just blast those on, like maybe put it by your crazy neighbor's house, and then they all just go over there. Like, come on. And
now you're thinking.
Do we have any concept of where these creatures came from? Like, are they aliens or?
Someone said that there was one of the newspapers said that they referenced a meteor that landed on Earth. I don't know if that's true or not, but I read that in the comments.
I noticed also in the background on his like really really comprehensive kind of detective whiteboard, which I found super helpful to explain what was going on. He posed a question and he answered it. He wrote where from. Like referring to the creatures, and then he wrote Iowa underneath it. And so I'm led to believe that they're native of Iowa. I don't know.
Did he really write that?
No, he didn't write that.
I was like, there's like 18 words on that whole whiteboard. I'm pretty sure I read that before.
My favorite one was weakness? Question mark.
I have a question. How did they not hear him writing on that board when it's like screeching?
Squeak, 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 squeak.
Well,
squeak,
like
squeak,
I said, he learned how loud you could be. Again, there were 13 children, right? I think he went through at least 3 or 4 writing on that board to learn how, you know, if it would work or not. And then he's like, okay, it's safe.
Well, if we go back to the ending real quick, I like how they went with the usual suspects route of showing the different press clippings on the board and then having it add up in the main character's head and figuring everything out. It's like, now I get it. Oh. Kaiser Soze. I get it.
It was Kaiser Soze the whole time. Can I,
Kobayashi.
Can I give you my, Can I give you my ending? I'm not sure it's better, but this is how I would have ended it.
Okay.
So, chick, like, she realizes her magical powers through her hearing aid. Mm-hmm. And, like, right there, her dad's, like, about to give himself up, and her hearing aid isn't working. And so she's, like, working really hard to activate it. Then she's able to activate it, and that scares off the guy. And so, like, the dad's like, wait, what? Because he sees the creature freaking out. So then they go, and then they broadcast her thing all through the world. So we kind of get this, like, thing where all of them all around are, like, freaking out because they've saved it. It's kind of like how they figured out the water at the end of Signs.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Signs, yep.
So there's kind of like a... It felt very Signs-y, by the way.
Very mm-hmm. Signs-y.
It's much better than Signs.
But I agree.
Interesting.
Oh, this is 100% better than Signs.
Well, I mean, most people agree. I mean, critics and critics definitely agree.
Signs is like 97. 45 minutes too long.
I agree with that. It's about one M. Night Shyamalan cameo too long.
Oh, dude, that's the thing is, like, this movie didn't have that. Like, even when we see another human being, it's like 13 seconds long, and yeah. then he's gone too. Like,
yeah.
Perfect length. So quick.
It was that great. Interaction with that other person was amazing. I love that scene.
No, that scene was great.
Terrifying. I pooped myself.
And they got a good actor, by the way.
Where do you find somebody that looks like that?
Yeah, he's got the bitter no beer teeth. Face, kind of like.
Or jaw. Like, dude, I think he might have been the old guy from those. From is that Blue from
Old School?
Is he still acting?
He did look like it.
Yeah, my boy Blue.
Yeah,
you that, were no, my that boy. Was great.
And this, I got to hand it to Krasinski. Like you said, it moved. Like that interaction was quick. Everything was quick. The pace was quick. When it dawned on me that we were wrapping up towards the ending, I was like, no, there's another act. Like, they're going to have a whole nother thing, right? Like, I'm used to movies overstaying their welcome 25 minutes. But no, it wrapped it up. It did its business, and it was over. So, anyway.
Good job. Good job all around.
It was good.
Good job by you.
So, in closing, I want to share. I was going to share it on the screen, but it would require me to refresh our feed, which is going to screw up our broadcast. So, I'm going to have to just hold it up to the camera. While we were podcasting, I suggested a design that Skylar made while we were podcasting, which is a photo of Alden Ehrenreich as Han Solo that's as a flyer that says, I'm a flyer, and then below it, and I'm a driver, with those little tear-offs if you need a driver. that by the way, coming from someone who's got a fair amount of Reddit karma, I've had a lot of posts do very well, if I do say so myself. That right there is a fine piece of Reddit material.
It's 4 points up already.
Oh, dude.
Beautiful.
We need us to get you up to upvote. But where'd you post it? r/funny?
r/funny.
Yeah, it's a hard, that's a really hard sub.
r/solo is where I found it.
Yeah, no. I think you got yourself a winning. That's great. So, thank you.
Yeah, comment and upvote. Comment and upvote.
Thank you for
smash that like button,
we'll tweet
button,
it
fam.
Out, too.
We'll
ooh, guys, we're at 6 points now. This might actually take off.
Well, if you're watching this, go to Reddit, r/funny. I don't know.
I think I did a good title, too. I'm pretty proud of the title. Like, don't call him a pilot. He's a flyer.
That's good. Thanks for running with that. Anyway, that's all for now. Aaron and I
guess while you guys were podcasting, I was doing that.
Yeah, I could tell you were doing something. I was like, I hope it's good. I hope this, whatever he's doing, I hope it's worth it. And it was. Turns out it was. So Aaron and I are going to record right after this to do a review of Isle of Dogs, Wes Anderson's new film, as well as an incredible recent episode of Atlanta called Teddy Perkins. And say goodbye to Skylar. Go see A Quiet Place. Let us know what you think. And let us know what you think of the Han Solo trailer in the comments. And that's it. As we say,
hold on to your butts.
Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.